I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, another perspective on the conflict between Democratic presidential hopeful Barack Obama and his former pastor, the Reverend Jeremiah Wright. We'll talk with two members of the clergy for our Friday Faith Matters conversation. But first, our regular Friday political chat. It's been a very interesting week. We're going to talk about the political implications of the Obama-Wright story, and we're facing two primaries on the Democratic side, both Indiana and North Carolina vote next Tuesday. Hillary Clinton has been gaining ground in both states, giving her a chance to catch up to Barack Obama in both the delegate and popular vote count. But on the other hand, Clinton lost a key superdelegate this week when former Democratic National Committee Chairman Joe Andrew, who was appointed by President Bill Clinton to the post, announced he would support Obama. And it's the fifth anniversary of Mr. Bush's announcement that it was mission accomplished in Iraq. Clearly it isn't. What's the fallout? Here to talk about this are two very key political Davids, syndicated columnist David Sirota and White House correspondent for McClatchy, David Lightman. Welcome to both of the Davids. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
David Sirota, you have a broader theory about how the issue of race is playing out in this campaign. I want to ask you about that in a minute. But first, I want to ask you what effect you think the Reverend Wright controversy may be having on the ground in North Carolina and Indiana. I should mention that nationally, Senator Obama's poll numbers are down 6 points. In a new CNN national poll, he's at 46%. Senator Clinton is at 45%. That's a statistical dead heat. Of course, those are the national numbers. You think that's the Reverend Wright controversy playing itself out?
I think it's something broader. I think it's that Barack Obama is now seen as more of a regular politician, as opposed to being somebody who has risen above it or has been floating above regular politics. I think the Reverend Wright's controversy has helped bring him into that regular politician mode. I also think that, and we can discuss it a little more, I think that the Reverend Wright controversy deals a lot with race, even though race is unspoken in some ways in that controversy. I think it has been used by the Clinton campaign to reiterate that Barack Obama is a black candidate. I mean, not that that's not obvious, but to reiterate that he is a black candidate with the hope of, I think, generating a somewhat of a white backlash. It happened in Pennsylvania. I think it happened in Ohio. And I think that the Clinton campaign is banking on it happening in Indiana and North Carolina.
David Lightman, as I understand it, you're joining us from Indiana right now, right?
Yes, that's right. I'm in Indianapolis.
What are your impressions?
Well, a lot of people I've talked to all week here in the state will tell you, yes, they're concerned about the Reverend Wright. They don't like it. They'll give you, frankly, good on-the-record material saying that Obama sat in that church for 20 years, they'll say. Why didn't he walk out? But a lot of those people, maybe all those people I've talked to, weren't going to vote for Obama anyway. So I'm not sure how much impact it has on the race. There's a figure out this morning from the Zogby poll. Something like 21% of those surveyed said Wright has an impact. But again, I'm not sure it has an impact on switching people. I've had a hard time finding that. This race seems to be too close to call. I think Zogby had it 42-42 this morning, finding an unusual number of undecideds. And one of the things we're trying to examine today in our reporting is just what's going to push these people over the edge one way or the other. It's very, very hard to discern.
David Sirota, you've been writing about something called the race chasm. Tell me what that is.
Well, Barack Obama has been able to win most of the states that are less than 6% black or more than 17% black, their populations. Hillary Clinton has won about 80% of her states in what I call the race chasm, which is those states between above 6% black populations and below 17% black populations. Those are states. Pennsylvania is a good example. Ohio is a good example. And my theory, although you can never really prove definitively any of this stuff, there's so many different factors. But the numbers over 33 primary contests are so pronounced in this chasm that my theory is that in states where there's a very, very small black population, black-white politics does not gain real traction. Racial politics is not as much of a deal with the daily political dialogue. It doesn't really work there. Above 17% black, sure, there's certainly racial politics. I mean, a lot of these are Deep South states, but the black population is large enough to overcome a potentially racially motivated white vote. It's in that chasm between 6% and 17% black where the Clinton campaign, I think, has used controversies like the Reverend Wright controversy to potentially racially motivate a white vote. I mean, you had 20% or 19% of Pennsylvania voters saying that they thought race was a major factor in their own vote, and that included, I think, 14% of the white vote. So the idea is that in that chasm, the racially motivated white vote, there's not enough black voters to overcome or offset a racially motivated white vote. And so I think that chasm is something that has to do very fundamentally with racial politics.
Well, in Pennsylvania, of the people who said that race was a factor in their vote, I think something like three quarters voted for Hillary Clinton. But are there people for whom they might say, you know what, I think a black president might be good for the country. So race is a factor in my vote, but not necessarily in a bad way.
Oh, certainly.
Or a negative racist way.
Certainly. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, attempt here. Am I trying to make an attempt to imply that any white voter who votes against Barack Obama is voting on racial grounds or vice versa? But the point is here, over 33 elections, this trend, this chasm is so pronounced. I mean, 83% of Hillary Clinton's states that she's won are in this chasm. And then you couple it with numbers like those exit polls out of Pennsylvania, which, by the way, were very similar to exit polls out of Ohio and Texas, where people said race is a major factor in my vote. And remember, if a poll respondent is actually saying that, if you got 19-20% of people saying that, most experts will tell you that means the number is usually much higher, because those are only the people who are admitting that race is a part of their vote.
Let's let David Lightman back in. David?
I think there are a couple factors that may be unique to Indiana that you have to consider. Number one, this is a state that has never had this kind – not never, but has rarely had this kind of attention showered on it. The last time it had a significant primary, I believe, was 1968. And even in the general election, candidates tend to skip this state. They don't run a lot of ads. It's sort of a safe Republican state. So all of a sudden, boom, people like me are running around to their diners and shopping malls and begging them for their opinion. And so I think they are taking a little more time to think it through, to think about this. And race is a factor, but I don't know. Maybe in the end it'll break like Pennsylvania, but I'm not sure of that yet.
Okay.
Number two, keep in mind the geography here. A lot of Indiana borders Illinois. So a lot of people in this state see Obama differently. They've been watching him for 3.5 years as a senator and arguably before that as a legislator. So that, I think, also takes away a little bit of the race equation. And it makes it all a little more difficult to predict.
If you're just joining us, I'm talking politics with the Davids, a veteran journalist, McClatchy White House correspondent David Lightman, and syndicated columnist David Sirota. What do you make of the DNC, former DNC chairman Joe Andrews switching his superdelegate support from Clinton to Obama, David Sirota?
Well, I think it shows where the race is going. I mean, I think everybody likes to be on the bandwagon of a front runner, and I think we have to remember that Barack Obama still is the front runner here.
Yeah, I was going to say, but he's having a horrible week.
Sure, but most people will tell you that there's not really – they don't think there's really a chance for Hillary Clinton to win in the pledge delegates. Look, I think it's certainly a boost for Barack Obama, and I certainly think it's a boost in Indiana where Andrew's name is probably somewhat known. But I want to just say one thing about David's comment. I agree that Indiana is very different. But one of the ways it's also very different, and I know this, I got family in Indiana, I'm there all the time, is that southern Indiana is actually more in many ways like the South, much more like Kentucky than it is like the industrialized upper Midwest. And I think that is where race really, in that region in particular, is where race could really play a factor.
I want to move to the other side of the aisle here. David Lightman, this is the fifth anniversary of President Bush's dramatic landing. Well, yesterday was dramatic landing on an aircraft carrier where hung a banner claiming mission accomplished in the Iraq War campaign. Some Iraq War veterans did some demonstrations around the country to sort of call attention to what they consider the failures of the administration's prosecution of this war. How much of I'm just wondering, because you cover the White House, how much of the – what's the atmosphere like there now? And the other thing I'm so curious about is that the polls show that President Bush is the most unpopular president in modern history. And how does that feel being part of that administration at a time like this?
It's a strange feeling. I was at that Rose Garden press conference the other day, and – obviously you respect the president, you respect the institution, but you just – I don't want to say you get a feeling this presidency's over because it still has, what, 7-8 months to go and he's still arguably the most powerful person in the world. But yeah, there's almost a sense, I think, that there's nothing more they can do. I mean, they've got their position. The Democratic Congress has its position on the war. And even out here in the Indianas, Pennsylvanias, Ohios, you know, I don't find so much voter anger anymore over the war. I find almost sadness, disappointment, like let's move on. Let's get it over with. It's a strange mood.
And yet, you know, only yesterday's Wall Street Journal NBC poll says only 27% of voters have positive views of the Republican Party. But the article also points out that McCain's still running about even against either Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama. What's up with that?
Well, as a matter of fact, this is a story we're working on. You're very timely. And that is particularly in Clinton crowds. You say to people, if Clinton doesn't get it, would you consider McCain? You say that to Obama voters as well, but you find fewer of them willing to consider McCain. And David was talking about people in southern Indiana. David, I was in Jeffersonville down near the Kentucky border yesterday. Boy, a lot of these Clinton voters said, I'll consider McCain. Then the next question is, wait a minute. They're at opposite sides on the war, on social issues. How do you reconcile that? And it's interesting. They say, well, we trust McCain. He's got experience. He'll do the right thing. So this is a problem Democrats could face in the fall.
30 seconds, David Sirota. Literally.
I absolutely agree. I think that John McCain in the general election will try to become the John McCain of 2000. I think people still remember that. And the question for McCain about whether he can win against either of these candidates is whether he can resurrect the John McCain of 2000 or whether he's the John McCain of 2008, the John McCain sort of relative or close ally of George Bush. That's the question for him.
All right. Good questions. Syndicated columnist David Sirota joined us from Denver, and David Lightman, White House correspondent for McClatchy, joined us from Indianapolis. I thank you both.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.